stop. Lex and Stacy's threesome.
Hey, it's Lex and Stacy, threesome podcast 76.
Six.
76. And we are going to talk about numerous things today. The Tom Brady thing. Big announcement
today. You were
just
telling me about the Tom Brady thing.
So we're pretty much dating this podcast, but that's okay. Because this issue has been going on for months. You know, ever since the end of football season last year. All kinds of bad things have come from this. The Colts said that had everything to do with them losing 47-7 was slightly deflated footballs. That's how all this started.
I am not a football sports fan, but even I know that's probably not totally it.
Yeah. Yeah, you could have played with Nerf balls. You could have played with anything. You just got your ass handed to you for the most part. You know, so I think you should have just shut your mouths. And then Colts compounded matters by hanging we were in the American Football Conference championship game banner. Nobody fucking does that. You either win it and hang a banner or you don't. It's totally cool to hang a divisional banner because it's very difficult. But, you know, what happens with your division win until the Super Bowl? There's no more banners unless you win the AFC championship. Then you can hang a banner because you're conference champion. But they have a conference runner-up banner in their stadium now. What a bunch of pricks. I have no respect for that team. I hate that team. I've always hated them.
Do you hate Pepe?
Pepe's on the Broncos now, Stacey. You really aren't a football
fan.
Well,
I know that. I do know that. Oh, okay. I just mean because he was for a very long time.
Yeah, that's kind of where it started, yes. With their little video game shit of moving people around everywhere. It's like, Jesus Christ, will you just hike the fucking ball? My God. It's like watching a baseball pitcher that walks around the mound and, you know, with a resin bag and just fucking off, you know, 25, 30 seconds between pitches.
Like Mark Fidrich.
Like all of them.
Do you like that? I just made a bird reference.
Come on. I know. Well, we all know that's the bird. In our sports circles where we talk every day, that's not a big deal. You're not going to get accolades from us just because you talk about something we talk about every day. See?
You don't talk about Mark Fidrich every day.
Yeah, he comes up in a sports conversation somewhere, someplace, every day, I guarantee you. So shut up.
Well, good for him. He deserves it.
Yeah.
Even though he's dead and doesn't know, but...
So Tom Brady was facing four games because he supposedly had some very bad texts between him and the equipment guys, you know, of... saying, hey, how about taking some air out of those balls? You know, incriminating stuff like that. And today, and it's been embarrassing for the NFL because, you know, the Patriots are making it difficult and really playing a hardcore game in the press and everything. So, you know, the NFL, I think, along with the Patriots, got together and designed a scenario, which happened today, where a judge makes it okay for both of them. The NFL looks like they were the hard asses and wanted him to suffer for four games and die and everything else. But the law has stepped in and said, oh, no, you can't do that because of blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, you think everybody's been on the same page. And I knew it was going to turn out this way. I think everybody did.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't have football without Tom Brady. But you watch over the course of the season as all the power owners, the Jerry Joneses, the Rooneys, you know, the Maras, people like that, watch them get their way on shit. Because they know what happened.
Right.
You're gonna see a bunch of people coming off suspensions early, suspensions getting turned around, all kinds of backroom deals.
Which is too bad, because they're still reeling from that Ray Rice thing, you know?
Yeah, well, that's how this happened today. Because the Patriots knew this guy needs no more egg on his face.
Right.
So we just tell him, we are going to keep this front and center and in front of people until you fucking make it go away. But here's what we offer as a plan to make it go away, where you look like you're a total prick to the Patriots, but it just doesn't work out for you. And voila. That's what happened today. It's a bunch of bullshit, man. As a Steeler fan, I want heads.
I'm not a Tom Brady fan. I mean, I'm with you. I think that he just deserved to be smushed for a little while.
Well, Giselle, his wife, supposedly in the last couple of weeks, was rumored to be seeing a divorce lawyer. I guarantee that had something to do with this.
Think so?
But when you look at their social media and all that stuff, you really see them behaving quite normally. You know, Tom Brady's Facebook page and stuff like that. She seems to be on the page. However, there was an instance with where Tom let Ben Affleck's nanny wear the Super Bowl rings on the private jet. When they were, yeah.
Okay, is this nanny got like a pussy of gold or something? I mean, what's up with a nanny?
She must, but. Ben Affleck and Tom Brady are on this plane, and if you're Giselle, you're like, okay, am I with a scumbag now? You know? I mean, what if he's on there with a chick, one of two things is happening. Either you have a chick on there, or both of you are doubling this chick.
Double dipping.
Yeah. I mean, if you're her, wouldn't you think that?
Well, me as a catty female, I would think that Giselle would think, since only the odor of roses emanates from the orifices of my body, surely he wouldn't want a simple nanny. He's got me.
That's why he wants a simple nanny. My God! Do you women understand nothing?
I do. That's what I think Giselle is thinking.
You always sexually desire what you don't have.
Ben Affleck's nanny?
Hey, if you have some little 20-something nanny talking nasty shit to you and then telling one of the best known actors and football players in the world, you know, let's get down, let's do this. I'm sorry. Giselle can't duplicate that. I mean, isn't that filthy? So awesome. Private jet.
I will even go one step further for minimum me wage as a nanny. Catty female. Oh, I know. She's probably like giving blowjobs for fries.
You don't deserve to be on this plane. Bend over.
And hand me my drink, bish.
You low life servant. Boom, boom, boom. I mean,
you minimum wage.
I'm sorry, but you can't say that to Giselle.
No, you can't.
You're stupid, dude.
Actually, that's how they play their serial killer night.
Yes. Yeah, it's like
fuck me, I'm like I'm a nanny.
Yeah. Thomas, treat me like a peasant. All right.
Treat me like I'm a school teacher. Yeah.
You should be down cleaning our pantry. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, darling, that's so hot. Boom, boom, boom. Can pick up these clothes when we're done. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. You slut.
You toilet scrubbing slut.
See, he can't talk to her like that, but I could go over to Giselle's house and it's like, you little fucking supermodel bitch, you don't mean anything to me, you fucking take it, you know, I mean, it's different. <You know? laughs> It's just different. It is. It's just, I mean, we all fantasize or want what we don't have, but we really don't. You know, when it's all over and you've pissed off, you know, the chick you're with and everything, and, you know, you're not with her anymore, and you start missing the stuff that means stuff about them, you know, it's just not worth it. Unfortunately, there's something about the age 30 to 50 with a dude that is danger land.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. You know, because you've already been in a marriage for a while, relationships for a while, you've been around the block, but you're not done yet. And but you start getting senses and feelings like, oh God, I'm gonna, you know, you got ED commercials popping up all over the place that guys look just like
no
you.
No pun intended.
Yeah, guys looking just like you in them. You're like, oh fuck. I'll never forget the first ED commercial.
I wasn't in a bathtub on the mountainside.
I'll never forget the first ED commercial I saw where the guy looked just like Terry. I was like, oh my God.
When did you have time to do a commercial?
Yeah. He goes, that guy doesn't look like me. I'm like, okay.
But it did get my dick hard, so there's that.
No, but what he was selling did. So, yeah, it's weird. We're weird like that. I wouldn't trade what I have for the world, really. But there is the scenario of being on a private jet with Ben Affleck and banging that chick. It's pretty damn good. Put on my Super Bowl rings, you fucking floor washer.
I guess the question is, if Ben Affleck's traveling with the nanny, was he traveling with the kids too? Because at that point, as a wife, I'd be like, well, if you're going away,
he left the kid.
Why do you have to take the nanny with you?
No, they left the kids with her. They were going back to LA for something. I can't remember what. But somehow it ended up being him and the nanny on the jet. And then come the pictures with the Super Bowl rings, which, voila, she posted. It's like, I think it's required of every actress to rent the hand that rocks the cradle. Remember that movie?
Oh, God, yeah. I actually use that, like, you know, I'm going to go all Rebecca De Mornay on you.
I know, wasn't she great?
That scene where she walks into the playground where the little kid, whichever, I don't remember, was getting bullied.
Yeah.
And she walks up to that one kid and grabs him by the arm. And I don't remember exactly what she says, but basically it's along the lines of, I'm going to, you know, gut you.
I will end you.
Yes.
It was basically.
But she said it in just a like horrible way, and the kid pissed himself.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're going to the real mother of the baby going, give me my baby and I'll be on my way. You know, you got a problem. It's like, this isn't gonna go well.
And then poor Solomon, the guy that she had set up for all the bad stuff, you know, with the panties and everything. Yeah. And he sat there and took that beating, and it was like, wow, this movie just took like a really awful turn.
Yeah.
I mean, it was already dark, but now this is just awful.
Yeah,
you're beating the mentally challenged guy.
Yeah. Yeah. How bad are you? It's like, he touches kids. It's because he's mentally disabled. Touch the kid toucher. Get him out of here. When he's the only one that had any kind of instincts that she was a piece of shit.
Yes.
You know, it was great in the end when he was in on killing her. It was awesome.
I just remember, too, the husband. Because who was the mom? I don't remember who the mom was.
Oh, the mom was, what was her name? Annabella Sciarra.
Okay. Wow, look at you.
Mm-hmm. She's one of my
favorites.
Well,
the husband. The husband was just, like, completely impotent. There was no point to him in the movie. It was truly like the chicks duking it out through this whole thing.
Yeah, they really didn't need him in there at all. She could have been a single mom with a kid, and that would have been just as good.
I guess they needed her for half the movie.
I guess they needed, you know, somebody for her to seduce or something.
Yeah.
Make it all dirty and filthy. But I got to give him props. When she walked into the bathroom in that nightie while his wife was in the hospital, and he didn't just turn that over. Might be a better man than me. I don't know. She was so hot and risky business. You know, are you ready for me, Ralph? The train.
Yeah, I only saw that movie once, and it was years ago, and so I don't really remember.
Oh God, that movie's brilliant. It's still my favorite Tom Cruise movie. And I gotta say, I got a lot of favorite Tom Cruise movies.
Really?
A Few Good Men, I think, is a great movie. I loved the last Mission Impossible movie. It was awesome. It really was. I didn't like any of the prior ones, but I like that one. Jerry Maguire, loved it.
He's just ruined himself for me. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he is most probably gay. It's just, the way he handled the whole Katie Holmes thing, like when they were dating, that jumping on the couch and everything.
Yeah.
He's just nuts. And that whole Scientology thing, such a turnoff.
Yeah, it is. Katie Holmes, however, is now on the show Ray Donovan on Showtime. And, God, she's like a piece of ripened fruit.
I know, she's gotten much prettier gotten older. It's like she's grown into herself.
She like grew into her eyes. She looked like Speed Racer for a while. But, but she's like matured into her eyes, and now she's just smoking hot. She's so hot in that show. She plays kind of a bitchy rich man's daughter that has, you know, an extremely awesome education, and it's just like you just want her. Where I didn't before. When she was Mrs. Cruz, I was like, man, he could do better than that. But now I get it. I completely get it.
But sadly, he didn't. It was lost on him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she was extremely younger, and he's asking her to have kids and shit like that. You know, it's not, I think it was like the same age difference that me and my chick are, but she didn't want kids, and I was past having my kids, so that issue wasn't in there. I think it was a big deal.
Right.
So, you know, and it's not the age difference thing. It's more the what's going on. 37-year-old guy with a 25-year-old, you know, it's...
Well, that and, you know, when you have to be interviewed to be someone's prospective spouse.
Yeah. Kind of takes a romance out of it.
You've heard that, right?
I've heard that, yeah.
Because I think Scarlett Johansson has said that she was called to his house and got the distinct feeling because she thought she was going like for a movie role.
Hey, it's
you
no,
don't really say no.
It's no different than
Tom Cruise asks you to his house.
It's no different than Match.com. They're just bringing him in live. When you think about it, I mean,
I wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it for a big giant house. Not Tom Cruise. Not Scientology. Not being followed around and poked and prodded and brainwashed. No.
Yeah, well, when you're coming off Gilmore Girls with no prospects, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's a different deal or whatever show she was on. I can't even remember what it was. Seventh Heaven, one of those fucked up shows. I was thinking during
was
this.
Dawson's Creek? See, I'm sitting here thinking.
Sorry. Dawson's Creek, they're all the same to me. You know, they all have a hot chick and an older man in it that touched kids and went to jail later. But
which he makes me so sad because I love Tales of the Gold Monkey. Sorry.
Stephen Collins, is that who you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, damn it.
I knew back in Brewster's Millions there was something wrong with him. but while we lament about all this Hollywood shit,
yes,
I want to ask you a serious question about celebrity couples.
Okay.
Because I was reading a news story about Avril Lavigne and Chad Kroeger separating after 2 years of marriage, and I didn't really think much of it other than, is there a celebrity marriage that lasts outside of Paul Newman's and Joanne Woodward's and, you know, Rita Wilson and Tom Cruise, or Tom Hanks?
Hanks.
Yeah. You're welcome.
It's Hollywood's dirty secret.
You're welcome. And and there's maybe one or two more. You know, we'll give it to Goldie and Kurt. They're not married,
okay,
but
yeah.
But it's a lengthy relationship.
They are.
Yeah, much longer relationship than Hollywood allows. Maybe they got it right by not getting married. You know.
Yeah.
Maybe there was like 15 times you went, you know, I'm leaving. Yeah, get the fuck out. And they spent a year apart and got back together. Who knows? You know, but my question is, why do these people get married? Knowing the odds, knowing the success rate, why do it?
I agree with you. I don't know.
I mean, obviously, it's almost like an athlete. You have, most of them have, like, from their, if they're lucky, their mid-teens to 40 to make their impact. And if you hit the lottery and start getting parts and start getting big movies and stuff like that, the thought in your head is, I'm going to make as much money as possible while the iron's hot, because I know the nature of Hollywood, that my time's going to come and go. And,
right.
You know, so it becomes very career driven. Then you get in some movie with some chick who's in the same boat you are. You're the lead guy. She's a lead girl. You have all this hot fucking sex on film, and you hang out for 6 months while you're making a movie. And, you know, you're texting each other and you're playing around with each other. And it's like, you know, you just think this is the one. It works in the movie. It works on the set. You know, you're, yeah. And then they get into real life. You know, with strollers and kids and nannies and, you know, buying property and, you know, having all this gunk come into their relationship.
But that's with anybody.
And go off and do to remote locations with some other hot chick and hot
dude. With Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would love to talk to Jennifer Aniston and hear her real take on that now. Like take the emotion out of it. Did it surprise you?
As you know, Jennifer Aniston and Chelsea Handler are pretty good friends.
Yeah.
And Chelsea Handler, you should look the quote up. It's readily found on the internet, has stated how much she can't stand Angelina Jolie. And she said, you know, it has nothing to do with Jennifer, really. But the way she worded it, I don't have it in front of me, but it's along the lines of, you know, she's been in a room when Angelina's walked in, and Angelina is one of those women that just give off the bad vibes. Like, when you look at her, according to Chelsea Handler, and, you know, that's Chelsea Handler, my God, you can tell she's just a bad, bad woman.
Yeah.
You know, just she's a man eater. She's gonna fuck your man because she can.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna deny there's not people I feel that way about that I run across, but she has kept a lot of longevity in this marriage and has done some pretty noble and decent things as far as giving kids homes that wouldn't have had one.
Oh, you know, see, for me, because she doesn't have a publicist, it is all so contrived. I just can't stand her. It is all contrived. She is a narcissist. She needs to have her ego stroked. And she knew that she had this bad rep, you know, and especially with the Brad thing and all that. And so how can you be mad at me for taking Brad Pitt away when, look, I'm the ambassador to wherever, and I've adopted half of their kids. Look at me. I cut my own tits off. Feel me.
Yeah, I could see why you'd have that view because you're Stacy. But
yes,
I choose to look at it that there was such supreme lust going on between the two of them that she just couldn't help herself.
I think she calculated. I mean, I'm sure she found him attractive, but I'm sure she looked at him as an asset. I'm sure, you know, and she turned it on. She is that dirty girl that you just, you know, have talked about. You know, I get that. I'm sure that she can probably say things that will make your dick hard for days. You know, hey, I get that.
I've gone to bed with people that look like Jennifer Aniston, kind of the wholesome thing and all that, and found out they're filthy fucking whores. You don't know. You don't know. Jennifer Aniston in bed could be like the raunchiest, fucking craziest thing ever. You don't know.
Well, I hope she is. I kind of like Jennifer. I don't like Angelina.
I'd like to find out. We're not friends tonight.
Nice. Because I'm sure she's never heard that one before.
I bet she hasn't. She's with those more metro type dudes that are like, let's be friends and hold each other before we make love. Follow the rose petals to the bedroom.
Do you know people in real life that use the phrase make love and mean it?
I've never really understood that term. It's like, why can't you call it fucking?
Or if you are, and I get that there are some people who don't like to swear, you just do it. Just want to go do it? Make some cutesy name for it.
And I'm just going to clarify where I'm coming from. I can't speak for all other men or women, but I'll just tell you what goes through my head when I'm in bed with Lisa. I love her. I mean, I love this chick as much as I've ever loved anybody or more. And when I'm in bed with her, I'm just fucking. And I'm pretty sure she is, too. You know?
So you've never held her and stared into her eyes until tears started running down your face?
Fuck no. I mean, you know.
She holds your head to her breast and says, there, there. I love you so.
No, she'll go, oh, my God, that was fun. And I'll go, yeah, thanks. That's awesome. And that's it, you know?
High five.
Yeah, come on. Don't you want to get in to see the Sooners? They're coming on here in a few minutes, you know, that type of thing. I mean, really. And I don't think anything of it. I don't, like, reflect while I'm driving around in the car going, should we make love like other people? But I'm sorry. I just when I'm in bed with her, I have just really they have nothing to do with love and matrimony and bonding and soul mating and all that stuff. It's like rah.
See, I've never. The reason I ask is because recently I heard someone use that term.
Yeah,
and I just was like completely floored by it. Because, again, it's either just, hey, want to go fuck? Or you just kind of, you know, just, hey, let's go do it. We got some time. Let's go. Get upstairs. It's implied. You don't have to say anything, you know?
Or like I did the other night. This was subtle. Hey, can I eat your pussy?
That works, too.
Yeah. And she went, sure. She, like, laughed. Like, you sure, Mr. Romance?
And then turn the TV up a little louder.
You know, and it ended up being a lot of fun. We were like, you know, had a good time and we're laughing and, you know, it was just awesome. It was.
Right.
You know, but there was no like romantic moment I had to create. I have been with chicks. You have to do that. That put you through the paces. of some sort of romantic endeavor or thought process in, for the privilege of having some extremely mediocre to poor sex.
Because it is. You know, I don't know anyone who's ever had to do that. Because, I mean, we've all known people that have had to do that.
Yeah.
And at no point have I ever heard any of them say, God, it was so worth it.
Yeah. Never. Know? Never is it worth it. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm angry that I, you know, have been manipulated into doing this fucking dog and pony show for something I should be getting anyway.
I took the garbage out.
Yeah. Listen, I'm your
That's
dude.
That's romance, bitch.
I'm your dude. I showed up one day and said, you're the end of the line for me. You're what I want. I am marrying you. You know, it's like, I'm not... why are you getting this self-affirmation out of me, you know, of something that you know I don't even enjoy or want to do? You know, the great thing about Lisa is I don't have to give her flowers or take her somewhere or do anything, you know, monumental to get some ass.
Because she's just a whore.
Because she knows I do it all the time. She knows I'm a good guy.
Just kidding.
Yeah, and she's a whore. But hey,
I'm just teasing.
Hey,
I had to go there.
But hey, even those whores out there, you know, there's some that'll put you through shit.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm going to be a fucking whore to you, but not quite yet. You know, now I'm finally old enough to go, you know, you lost your whore status. With this little game. You're not a whore anymore, which means you're not a good lay, which means you're worthless to me, which means you shouldn't have done this.
Yep.
And now I don't want you. So you just manipulated.
If only it were that easy.
You just manipulated your way out of some great action. I wasn't even going to make you do shit tonight. But no, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The game that goes on between couples is so exhausting. My goal is to always be with somebody that has the same feelings about it as I do, which is I detest it.
Right.
There's no reason for it. We're on the same team. We want the same things. We obviously, since we've been together for a while, have a lot in common. So what's with all this stuff? Which so many good relationships get ruined with it.
Yep.
And it goes, and it just, you know... You ever, like, had those friends that you thought were just inseparable as a couple and just completely on the same page and you just want what they have and, you know, you talk to them a year later and, you know, it's like, hey, you know, how you guys doing? Yeah, it's not you guys anymore. We got divorced. You're like, what? And then you find out just some little wrinkle derailed it. You know, a little.
Or he was beating me every night when he got drunk.
Yeah, there's that. But you know, in the case I'm talking about, I'm thinking about a particular couple I know. It just the way it went south was stupid. You know,
It was Angelina Jolie, wasn't it?
He was traveling for 2 or 3 months, and while he was doing that, she, you know, got close to somebody else. Didn't sleep with him. You know, gave full disclosure that, you know, she was lonely and, you know, she shouldn't have got emotionally attached, but she never got over it. It changed the complexion of the whole thing. You know? And it's like... Only because he was gone. If he doesn't go do his job, it probably doesn't happen.
Right.
So it's that kind of thing is, you know, it's what I try to counsel my kid on, is do not look at anything except the full body of work. if this person you're with has been rock solid, there for you every day, you know, and is doing their best, and you achieve some degree of happiness on a regular basis past 50%, then this is somebody you should probably hold on to.
Right.
This is somebody that is on your side, on your page. It's not worth fucking the lawn guy over or, you know, banging the chick that massaged you.
But I again, can't speak for everybody, and I totally know what you're saying, but I think that if you're really happy, you don't. So if you're looking at the pool boy or the nanny or whoever, there has to be something.
But that's my point. You know, it's the unhappiness factor lasts much less time now. People throw in the towel much earlier now than they used to.
Right.
You know, you have one little monthly I mean, I've gone through this in my relationship where, you know, we're both busy or we're not connecting. We got different shit going on or whatever. And I can feel the strain of that.
Right.
You know, I can. So, and so can she. And it's, man, it's so fucking fragile.
It is.
For everybody. Everybody has distractions. Whether you choose to take them or not, it's up to you. I had thousands of distractions thrown at me in the early years of Lex and Terry. Did not act on them. I had a beautiful wife, beautiful family. Too important to blow or get blown.
But not to save anyone's lives. And,
no, I don't. Fuck no. And really, you know what that was about? That was about my own integrity. That was about me, really. You know, I wasn't walking away from hot chicks for her. I was doing it for me, you know, so I could lay my head on the pillow at night and
go, I'm number one.
And say, well, and just say, today, once again, you did the right thing.
That's so sweet, Lex.
Hey.
It really is.
I'm serious.
You're a very good boy. I don't know if people tell you that enough, but you are.
No, I'm not.
I know, but you are.
I fantasized about a bunch of those chicks.
And that's okay, because you didn't do anything.
Yeah. You know, I'm not stupid. I'm in my 50s. My chick's 40. I know there's thoughts of Top Gun shirtless volleyball guys running through her head.
Gay volleyball?
Yeah, except they want girls. Yeah, it's a fantasy, okay. Stacy. So, yeah, it's not really Top Gun. You know, where she walks by all four of those guys and they don't even turn and look at her. You know? Because they're too busy looking.
It's homoerotic volleyball.
Yeah, because they're playing homoerotic volleyball and they're dialed in. And they don't even see fucking chicks walking by. So, that wraps up the podcast for today. it's really not much more expanding we can do on this. Next edition will be an LT2 edition, so we will have that for you. And we still haven't gotten to near the stuff we want to talk about, but we will. We promise.
Yes.
Soon the world will stop and we'll be able to catch up on everything.
September 22nd, don't forget.
I thought it was the 23rd. Or is the 22nd our last day?
I don't know.
I want to set up to do a podcast on the 23rd. So okay. I could just shove it up your ass.
And I'll be looking out the window going, no, it's coming now.
It's like
the giant comet, like the fireball from the sky.
You're in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of fucking goats. You better hope there's a comet coming from the sky.
I've got donkeys and goats and bunnies that I can eat for a long time.
You need something to look forward to. A big bright comet, you know, going right in your face hole is probably a cool thing. So, just something to think about, Stacy. Love you. See you next time. Your face hole, yeah. We'll see you next time on the Threesome Podcast. Bye, Stace.
Bye.